Well, praise the Lord. It's a new year.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And what I want to just kind of give you perspective tonight, okay? I know for many, many years I've kind of started the new year off with saying, if you want perspective, go stand in a cemetery and read the book of Ecclesiastes. That'll give you perspective. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. But for me personally, and for those of you that get my newsletter, you've already read all this. It's just an expanded version of it. But for me personally, this verse in Romans is my verse for the year. So what I'll be ministering to you tonight will be actually what's happening, what's going on in my own life, and how I'm setting up my disciplines for the year so that I'm on track to do everything that God wants to do through me, to be obedient, to throw off everything that's not needed, and to be sure and receive everything that's needed in order to carry out His will, His purpose. So, first verse, there's Romans 11:36. It says, "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Okay, so this is an eternal concept. This is the entire Bible in one verse. It's from Genesis to Revelation. All of it is right here in one verse. So everything is from Him. He created everything. He created the earth, created the universe. He created man from the dust of the earth, breathed on man. Man became a living soul. So everything is from Him. Now what I do with that, kind of statements that I'm making each morning as I meet with Him, I don't want anything that's not from Him. I don't want anything that's not from Him. I only want what is coming forth from Him. And the reason why we want that, because we know that it is not just good, it's very good. It's very good. It's hard to discern a lot of times what's good. Good, better, best, very best, excellent. I want what God considers to be good. So I want what's coming from Him. I'll just kind of run through all three of these, and then we'll go back through them again. But then I want what is through Him. And of course, most of the verses are referring to Jesus, what's coming to us through Jesus Christ. Okay? But we also know that it was through Him that God created the universe. So what is coming through Him, not only to benefit me, but to benefit the body of Christ, to benefit the lost and dying around me, anyone that I can help. Now, what I'm going to be sharing with you tonight is kind of like a preview of where we're going for the next several months. Because in order to get where we need to be, we're going to need to be receivers and givers. Okay? We receive and we give. You can't stockpile. You have to be a receiver. Let it flow through you for the benefit of others. Where God's taking us, He's going to equip us with everything we need, not only to be witnesses, but everything we need to defeat the enemy. He's going to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And our cup's going to run over. So the other part of it then is to make room in my life for everything He wants to put in there. Which means even some good things are going to have to go. Because I want to be fully receptive to everything He has. And Heidi Baker has a real good illustration of being filled with the Spirit. You know, you can take a glass and you can fill that glass with water and it'll be full. And you can say it's full. You can pour more water in and it will overflow. Okay? You can fill a bucket. You can fill a 50-gallon drum with water and the same thing. Fill it till it overflows. But Heidi Baker said as she was able to spend 3 and 4 hours a day praying in the Spirit, she said, I finally caught on to what it was. She said, it's like a bucket full of water in the ocean. So it's not the bucket's not only full of the water's all around. And you know what? Evil can't penetrate it. That's what I'm finding. Is evil can't even get close to me. So often, because of the evil trying to come in on our territory. And we feel those old twinges and so forth. And it's like, I don't even want the twinges. But how do we get away from it? Get so immersed in the Spirit that that can't even come close. Jesus said, there's nothing in me that belongs to Satan. He has no power over me. Wouldn't that feel good? I think so. And so I've been doing that every morning. Lord, don't just fill me up. Don't just fill me to overflowing. Just baptize me in the ocean. Just sink my bucket. And He does. And I can actually physically feel Him coming into the room and just filling up my office with His manifest presence. And the purpose then of receiving this is not just for our benefit, but receiving so we have plenty to give away the very instant someone has a need. You're not going to have a week to go off and fast and pray. When the moment's there, move. And God is moving quickly. And I'm finding it takes quick response. Move when God's moving. Do it just like Jesus did. I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father speak. And act quickly when it's the moment. Okay, so everything is of Him, through Him, and to Him. So the end of it will be everything goes back to God. Everything comes from God. Everything returns to God. Okay? If it isn't in that cycle, I don't want it. And that becomes the all-inclusive of everything that we need to be involved in. From Him, through Him, and to Him. Okay? Now the to Him, you remember when in 2 Corinthians it talked about Paul was gathering money for the, because there was a famine in Judea, and he was gathering money. And he said, now, he's talking to the Macedonians and Corinthians and different ones. He said, now, you've laid aside this money, and now I'm going to take it to Jerusalem, to all the people there. But there's one key thing that I saw in that. It said, and it will bring thanksgiving to God. From God, through God, to God. So how do we participate in that? We start with worship. Include worship in a part of your day, every day. And we're all going to be involved. Don't think that, well, I don't know how I can be involved in this great move of God. You can pray. You can fast. You can make phone calls. There's a lot of things. But God wants to use you. No one's disqualified. And actually, no one's more qualified than the other, because it's not from us. It actually comes from God, through God, to God. Okay? So our worship and our praise, and that opens us up then for more coming from God, through God, to God. Okay, so let's look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. That pretty well takes in everything, doesn't it? Just like the other verse. Are all things. That means everything is in God's vision. It's in His power. It's in His perspective. All of it. See, there's nothing outside of God's control. Now we can refer to that. We can say God is sovereign. But that word just goes past people. Sovereign God, that's too big for me. I don't understand. But to know that there's nothing outside of God's control. And never will be. Yeah. We think of Satan. Now, we think of all the evil on the earth. We think, this is out of control. It's out of our control, but it's not out of God's control. And it's all still a part of what He's in charge of. How do we know that? Well, we know it because there's going to come a time that God's going to put Satan away. He's going to be bound up for 1,000 years. And God's going to loose him. Who's in charge? God's in charge. Going to loose him for a season at the end of the 1,000 years. None of this is out of God's control. That ought to give you a boldness and a confidence as God's servant to be able to take on anything. Every evil act that will take place around you will be an opportunity to move in God's power and give away God's grace. To be bold enough to take on the challenges. Back when I had Truth for Youth House, there was just evil, evil, evil around us. Everywhere we turned, there was evil. And we had to learn to not, you don't go hide in a cave somewhere. You go in the name of Jesus and you use every evil challenge to bring glory to Jesus. God's going to pour out His power. And all He needs is vessels that'll move in the Spirit. Okay, for of whom are all things, we for Him and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Perspective. If that is true, if those two verses are true, where should I concentrate my time? Where should I concentrate my energy? How should I set up my day? Would it be a waste of time for me to spend 3 hours a day praying in the Spirit? Would it be a waste of my time to read 5 and 6 and 7 chapters of the Bible a day? Would it be a waste of my time to just walk out on the street to see what God wants to do? Make myself available. Would that be a waste of time? I don't think so. So, this is what I'm saying. This is for me. This is what I'm setting up. I want my life to be so in tune with what God's doing that I'm going to make every effort this year to be in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to live in Christ, let Christ live in me, be filled with the Holy Spirit to that greater and greater degree. Okay, now I'm going to make an important statement. I know we've all been ministered to in wonderful, wonderful ways, both individually, in your closet, in meetings, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. But I want you to know that we haven't received everything God has for us. Okay? We can get to that place, and so much of the church is there, where, well, I've received all of that. Yes, we have. We've received all of that, but we haven't received all that God has for the body of Christ. We're not there yet. And so, the reason why they serve appetizers is to cause you to eat a bigger meal. I believe we have the appetizers. I think the meal is still coming. I think he's getting ready to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You may not see it all in your church services, but you will see it in manifestation on the streets, on the sidewalks, and in homes. It'll affect the church, but the people going to the church will be the result of what we do outside of the church. This isn't to replace the church. This is to fill the church with lively people. In other words, people who are really experiencing something. It's thrilling to minister to people that something actually happens. You know, we see they're born again. And you know, you look at them the next day and you can tell there's something really different about them. They didn't just say, okay, I'm born again. But it's like, my life is so changed. My sins are gone. You know, it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, it's like, I can't believe, you know, the burden's lifted. You know, or we drive out demons and it's like, I've been bound for so long and I'm free. Or healing, you know, where they actually feel in their body. I've had cancer, a melanoma on my arm, been there for like 10 years, and my doctor got concerned about it, and he didn't give me an option. He said, we're taking it off. I said, okay, doc. So he does a surgery, and because I had it, well, I was here last month, I had a long sleeve shirt on, so you didn't see it, but all patched up and everything. Anyway, he took it off and sent it off, and they said, yes, you got it all, a margin of 3.5 millimeters. But they said, that's not good enough. It has to be 5 millimeters on each side of and below cancer. So he sent me to a surgeon in Springfield, and they, of course, went wider and deeper and got it all totally clear. But because he went deeper and wider and sewed it up with 21 stitches, I got home, it hurt bad. And, of course, they said, don't take aspirin. You know, you can take Tylenol, extra strength. Well, I took Tylenol, didn't touch it. I had some painkillers. I took them, didn't touch it. And my friend Dennis Hurst calls me on the phone. How you doing, Wayne? I'm hurting really bad. He said, well, let me pray for you. So I'm holding the phone up to my ear. I lift up my arm, and he starts to pray. The very first word of his prayer, the power of God comes in, fills the whole room up. I could physically feel him coming down my hand and just took all the pain away, never came back. Physically, actually feeling. Every morning now when I get up, and this was happening before that happened, it's been happening now for several weeks, every morning I can actually physically feel Jesus in my room when I'm worshiping. I open the Bible, and it just explodes all over me. I'm trying to devour the Word of God. I'm just reading and reading chapter after chapter. I sat down, I started in, where was I? I was in Mark. I read Mark and Luke and Acts and Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Titus. I just couldn't quit. It's like, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I gotta eat. The beautiful thing is, this is happening all over the world. Everywhere, people are having this hunger, this thirst. I have to have more. And Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And that's the reason why I say, we're not there yet. Now, we've had wonderful experiences. But if we're going to be the vessel of God confronting the enemy, and you can watch TV and you can see the encroachment of the enemy and the power of the enemy, but it's nothing in comparison to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. I want you to begin to fast and to pray. Live in the Word. In other words, don't waste time on things that don't count. Don't waste time on things that don't count. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Is that what it says? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And what? Has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Receive it so you can give it away. Keep receiving until everyone around you has been satisfied. When I pray before I come, like to do these meetings, I pray, Lord, give me what everyone needs. I'm just saying, bless me, but bless me with what everyone needs. I don't know what that'll be. There's no way of knowing. You never know who's going to come to a meeting. You never know what kind of problem. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Put your name there. How God anointed Wayne Brooke. How God anointed Jessica. Laurel and all of you. Put your name there. Because you're anointed. Anointing is power meeting need. That's what anointing is. Power meeting need. The power has to be greater than the need. And that's what I'm after. I'm hungry. I want more. I don't want to walk past situations and say, well, I wish I had what they needed. I want to have what they need when they need it. Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now suffering will be a part of the whole work. Okay? I know years ago I taught you Acts 16. Some of you weren't there in that, so I'll teach it to you again. But you'll remember the story. Paul and Silas were getting ready to go into Asia. Then Paul saw a vision of the Macedonian and said, come and help us. And so they went into Macedonia, which is like the state, to the town of Philippi. And as they were in Philippi, they found out there was a prayer meeting going on down by the riverside. And so they went down and joined in the prayer meeting. And they got blessed. But then it happened that this lady who was demon-possessed, she was actually a fortune teller. The Greek word there is real interesting because it's the Greek word python. She was a python, or she was a demon-possessed fortune teller, witchcraft. Anyway, they cast the demon out of her. And because of it, they were thrown in prison, beaten and thrown in prison. Okay? And then they worshiped God in prison. What happened? Earthquake. They got out. And who got saved? The jailer and all of his family. Okay, so here, and I've been through this scenario over and over and over again in my own life. There'll be tremendous blessings, and we'd love to live on the mountain of blessings. But right after that comes this pressure. Then God switches the pressure, and souls get saved. And then 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, he's not complaining. He said, the reason why I do all of this is for you're the ones getting the benefit of me being, I die daily. And you're getting the benefit. Squashed grapes makes good wine. So God is producing anointing. And yes, there's evil. But every evil becomes an opportunity. See, they didn't look at it like, oh my, here we go again. We're thrown in jail. They beat us again. Oh my, you know. But what kept them going? Original revelation. Have you had a revelation? Nelson last month was sharing with me a dream that he had. Already he's living it out. It's already being fulfilled. See, you're going to have dreams. You're going to see things. God is going to bless you beyond anything you ever thought possible. But then there's going to be trouble. God isn't in the trouble. God's in the answer. God's in the salvation business. What was Paul's original revelation? What did the prophet tell him after he saw the light on the road to Damascus. The prophet, Jesus said, you go tell Saul what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. What a calling! What a calling! And he did. And he suffered and he suffered and he suffered. He said, I die daily. It's for your benefit. See? They beat him. He goes through the list. How many times he'd been shipwrecked. How many times he'd been beaten with rods and stoned. And he goes through all that. He said, we're not discouraged. We're knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Yeah. So we're still going. And what happened? Spirit of God flourished. Corinth then, that he's writing to, that's where all the gifts of the Spirit and everything was so manifest. So don't be so concerned about what evil is around. God will make you to be an overcomer. He'll make you greater than the evil. And you'll be a witness and a testimony. I love it. In the 23rd Psalm, David said, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Of course, that's where all the robbers and all the evil people are lurking. But what thrills me is the word shadow. You can't have a shadow unless the sun's shining. The sun has to be shining somewhere. As long as the sun's shining somewhere, I can go through the worst of it. I've been through some pretty bad stuff, and I'm ready for whatever comes. Remember when the prophets came and prophesied to Paul? They said, they're going to kill you when you get to Jerusalem. He said, I don't care. He'd been through so much by that time, it really didn't matter. He said, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And of course we know, again, original revelation, because God told him he was going to Rome. So he knew he wouldn't die there. You can't have two different things. You can't die in Jerusalem and go to Rome at the same time. So when you get original revelation, write it down and don't let go of it. Okay? When Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They get halfway across, there's a storm. We're going to die. He didn't say, go to the middle and sink. He said, other side. When God speaks, you will make it to the other side. But you have to remember what he said on this side to make it to this side. Don't take revelation lightly. I remember in the early days of the Berean Baptist Church, so much prophecy, and we would just get so excited that there'd be prophecy. Now, because as Baptists, we weren't used to things like that. And so people would be prophesying tongues and interpretation. And after a while, Brother Powell and the leadership said, this isn't right. This isn't right. We're just excited because there's prophecy. We need to be recording this. We need to be writing it down and referring back to it so we can move forward. God isn't just talking to be talking. He's telling us things that are important to bring us through when the storm comes up. So, when you get revelation, I know it is so bright and so clear, you'll think, I'll never forget it. I live to be 120 years old. And 15 minutes later, you said, give me a clue. Just give me a clue, a little something. When you get in the storm, it's so easy to get so taken up with the storm that you forget the original revelation. Hang on to the original revelation. Okay? And He will bring you on through. Ephesians 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in y'all. Oh, you all. I'm from the hills. Y'all. He's in y'all. And Christ in you is the hope of what? Glory. The hope of other people seeing the reality of the resurrected Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He's in you all. John 16:28. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Full cycle. That's where I want to be. If you'll notice, that's exactly the same as Romans 11:36. From all, through all, and to all. Okay. This thing is repeated. And by the way, I'll just a little hint. But I was reading all of these chapters, and I decided every time Paul mentioned any of those three that I would take down the reference. I started putting it on my computer. I have pages and pages and pages and pages of scripture from God, through God, to God, over and over and over. And so when I thought about, because my newsletter was only one page, and I ended up, I think I was able to keep this on two pages, wasn't I? Yeah. So I eliminated a lot of scripture and still ended up with two pages, which we won't cover all of. Over and over, Paul, remember, he was caught up into heaven. And he said, I saw things. And when he came here, it seemed like his perspective of life was from God, through God, to God. All of his ministry to people was from God, through God, to God. Over and over and over. You want to have fun on your own reading, and you might even just underline when you see them or do it however you want to do it. I wanted to read them over and over, and I wanted Jesse to be able to read them over and over. So I'm actually printing them off of my computer, so I'll have every one of them. Throughout the year, I'm going to just keep going through them. When I'm through them, I'll start all over again. In the meantime, I'm going to keep on reading huge parts of the Bible because it keeps coming up through there. I see how it fits. So if you get this just one thing, from God, through God, to God, you'll be able to do everything that God needs done on the earth. Okay? I'll read that again. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now, look at John 17. This is Jesus praying. He's praying for us. Now, they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. What I'm reading you here is going to actually take me months of meetings here to be able to teach this to you. I'm sure you already have it in your spirit. It has to be. Otherwise, it's just information. I don't want you to have knowledge of the Bible. I want this to be alive in you. I want you praying. I want you receiving. I want you participating in all of it. Okay? For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have, this will be the title of all these other teachings I'll be doing, and they have received them. It all has to do with receiving.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much is being given if you don't receive it.
That's good.
Much can be offered, but only those who will receive it. We have to become receivers. When I was born again, I received Jesus Christ into my heart. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received the Holy Spirit. Peter said, repent and be baptized, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. You have to become receivers, only hungry people. Now, you may be satisfied with what you have for you. Personally, I'm not. But even if you had everything you need for you, there's a whole lot of people out there that need what God has to offer. So if a millionaire came and said, I'm going to give you $1 million, and I want you to give it all away. I don't want you to keep a dime of it. But you'd still have to receive it. And then you begin to give it out to receivers. We don't squander it. The Holy Spirit will show you how to distribute it. But as long as there's needy people, then I need to be receiving more. According to their need, not my need. Amen. Okay. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. So, from God. Okay. Okay, so it all is of Him. Genesis 1:31. These are very familiar scriptures to you, so we don't have to spend a lot of time. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good. The rich young ruler said, good master. Jesus said, why call me good? Only God is good. Of course, He was God, but what was the point He was trying to make? Everything has to be referenced back to God. Okay? In the end, every one of us will answer to God. Okay? What have you received? What have I offered? And what have you received? And what did you do with what I gave you? We'll all answer to that. We'll all answer too. We were talking earlier about people discussing in Sunday school. You know, well, what's your opinion? Well, what's your opinion? Well, what do you believe? And it absolutely doesn't matter what you believe. Unless you believe what God believes. You have to believe what God believes. God's not going to just set up there, well, I guess I better adjust that a little bit. No. I thought I told them right, but they're believing this way. Kind of like the speed limit. Remember, every time people were driving over the speed limit, they just increased the speed limit to make it legal. Until we had the gas war, and then they decided they'd make it less, so we'd burn less gas, and now it's going back up again. Now, it's like, well, if everybody believes this, and well, as long as it's unanimous, we're okay. No, it don't. Try this in the morning. Try believing that the sun won't come up. See if it affects it any. Will it be even 1 second less? Will it change it at all? No. It's going to be exactly the way God has planned it. I want to be in the center of His will. From Him, through Him, to Him. See? And nothing else matters. Nothing else in the end. Nothing else will count. Everyone will answer to God. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Nothing else matters. People sitting around talking about God, and they don't even know who He is. They talk about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what they're talking about, and yet they talk as though they're experts on the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Never received it. Never been around anyone that's received it. And yet, well, I read the Bible. I can't do anything about them. What I can do is I can do something about me. Because how many areas in my doctrine am I wrong? I have no idea. And I won't know until I know what's right. But the Holy Spirit's going to guide me into all truth. The wonderful thing is to find truth every day. Oh, I didn't know that. Where'd that verse come from? We all have that experience. How'd that get in there? Okay? Hebrews 3:4. For every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. What if we believed that and then adjusted our life to that statement? What if we believed that and adjusted our life? That would mean that everything that I would plan in a day would have to somehow fit into from God, through God, to God. If He built it all, if this is all His stuff, then I ought to really consider how I live my day. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Look what it says. With whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. Doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't adjust His constitution to fit our sinfulness. They keep adjusting our Constitution of the United States to fit the sinfulness of the nation. When our Constitution was drawn up, it was based on the Bible. Every law was based on the Bible. I can't do anything about the Constitution. I can do something about me. God's going to remain the same. I'm the one that's going to have to repent. I'm the one that's going to have to get hungry. I'm the one that's going to have to get thirsty. I'm the one that's going to have to receive for the benefit of others. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. There again, it is receiving, whether you're working at a job, whatever it is, everything, God's given you ability to take in so that you can be generous to give out. He didn't say stockpile it. He said receive and give. But the promise here is, I'm going to give to you in abundance. Where is it going to come from? Above. It's going to come from God. And when we bless people with it, Where's the thanksgiving going to go? To God. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I, and who are my people? This is Solomon speaking. That we should be able to offer so willingly as this. Look where his perspective came from. For all things come from you. And of your own we have given them. Isn't that fun? We're giving away God's stuff. I receive it, it's not mine, and I give it away. I receive it and I pass it on. 1 Timothy 6:13. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. God who gives life to all things. God who gives life to everyone around you. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because I remember how thrilled I was when I learned that that verse was for me. But I'm more excited now that I'm finding out that it's for me, for you, and for you, for others. See, we talk about training disciples. As I train disciples, I want everyone to pass me up. That's my dream. Is I want everyone that I minister to pass me up. So we receive and we give. See, John 1:3. All things, so we're back to our all things words again. All things were made through him. And without him was nothing made that was made. So it's of him, but it is through him. Now there are some Greek words, and I'm not trying to teach you Greek, but some of these things really don't hit you until you actually see it in the Greek. For instance, I'll just quote one scripture. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay. But the word by is actually the same word as through or down through. Which means what's coming from God has to go through Jesus to get to me. I don't want anything that isn't coming through Jesus. And I refuse anything that's not coming through him. Mm-hmm. I don't want any finances that doesn't come down through Jesus Christ. I don't care what it is. I don't want it. And I absolutely turn it down and refuse it. People have come to me and oh, I love your ministry. I love what you're doing. I want to give to your ministry. Here's what I'd like for you to do. I say, I'm not controlled by money. I don't care whether I have money or not. It's totally meaningless. But I'm not interested in money. It comes and it goes. And I have food, I have clothes, I have everything I need. And by the way, when I've been in situations where I had no money, I still had everything I need. You don't have to have money. You do have to have life. I want what is coming down through Jesus Christ. And if it isn't coming through him, I don't want it, no matter what it is. Okay? Okay, Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Is that what it says?
Yes.
All things, all dominions, all powers, everything was created through him and for him. I only want what's through him and for him. I think that'll be enough. I mean, if that was enough to create the universe, I think he can probably take care of my life and my ministry, which isn't my ministry at all. Wasn't my idea. It's his idea. He's the one who called me to it. So, all of this perspective. Now we're talking about perspective. See, looking at this. Is it from him? Is it through him? Is it to him? Is this going to bring God glory? Is this going to advance the kingdom of God? Is this all true? Because in the end, that's where it's all going to be. Full cycle. From him, through him, to him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.